W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Drop Dead Serious. I'm Ashley Banfield, and it's day 4 of Lori Vallow's Arizona murder trial. And today it got really personal. It didn't just get personal, though. It got spiritual, it got emotional, and it got really uncomfortable. Like, I am talking about family chaos, like no Thanksgiving dinner table you've ever been at. There were so many family members of Lori Vallow in this court today. It was hard to keep them all straight because Lori had been married 5 times, so she has a lot of names. But her first name was Cox, and so her family's name is Cox. And her siblings are all Coxes. And Adam Cox walked into that courtroom today as a witness. The other Cox family members were there for Adam, not for Lori. All the Cox family was sitting behind the prosecution, right? They were not there for Lori. They were not sitting behind Lori's defense table. They were on the other side of the court. And if you've ever been in a trial, and if you haven't, I recommend you go to one. They are fascinating. There is a bifurcation in the room. There is the defense on one side, and usually all the supporters of the defendant are behind the defense table. And usually there are family members for a defendant. I mean, after all, especially in a murder trial, that person might be locked up for life. But not today. Not for Lori. On the other side of the courtroom, behind the prosecutors, are usually the victim's family members and the people affected, the friends of the family. And that is where Lori's family sat. All the Cox relatives sat behind the prosecutors, meaning we are not here for you, sis. We are here to make sure you go down. And that's really what her brother Adam Cox was there for. There were also cousins of Lori, her son, Colby. Lori's uncle Rex was there. That's Lori's mom's brother. And 3 of his daughters, so 3 of Lori's cousins, all sitting behind prosecution. They were all there for Adam, as Adam testified. On Charles's side of the family, they're all sitting behind prosecutors too, right? These are victims, family members. This is the dead man's relatives. And there's dynamics here too. Kay Woodcock is Charles's sister, and she's been like a central figure in this case for 6 years. So she was going to testify today. But she also still has surviving siblings, right? Charles's surviving siblings as well, Jerry and Susan. And they were there behind the prosecutors. Nobody was there for Lori. Can you just imagine what your life would be like? You're on trial again for murder, and no one is there for you. Not even your kid, not even your brother, not even your mother or your sister. No one. Not even your former cultists. No one. So let's go to how the day actually began, okay? This is how it all unfolded. Adam Cox, that's Lori's older brother, he was the first witness on the stand, and he told the court that his little sister wasn't just going off the rails. She was building her own track to the next dimension. Adam described growing up in Southern California with Lori and their siblings. It was a big family, by the way, and they looked really normal back in the day. And at one point, Adam said that his sister Lori and their other brother Alex got oddly close. That happened right around the same time that Lori's beliefs started getting strange. And Adam recounted for the court that Lori told him she was a translated being on her way to becoming immortal, and that she had more priesthood authority than men in the LDS church. Okay. Adam remembered Lori asking him if Adam thought that his sister Lori was crazy. And he had an answer for his sister.
Did you confront her about these beliefs?
Confront her? No.
Did you discuss with her about these beliefs?
I just let her say what she wanted to say.
Was there ever a conversation where, when she was telling you these things, where she asked if you thought she was crazy?
Yes.
How did you respond to that?
I said, I don't know if you're crazy, but what you're telling me is not true. It's not real.
Adam then told the prosecutors that Lori cut him off completely at that point in their lives. Adam said that he tried to tell his family about these weird beliefs that Lori had expressed to him, and their reaction to him was essentially that, Lori's in a delusion and just let her do her own thing. She'll come out of it. But then that family cut Adam off too. Charles Vallow, for his part, Lori's husband, called Adam. Charles was desperate, and Charles and Adam were close. They were brothers-in-law. The rest of Lori's family had cut Charles off completely, and Adam was the only one who would even speak to Charles. Charles told Adam that something was very wrong with his wife, Lori, and that he wanted Adam to help him stage an intervention with his sister and, of course, Charles's wife, Lori. They talked about secretly recording Lori, confronting her, and even showing the footage to one of the church leaders. The hope here would be that if they could get her credentials to enter the Mormon church revoked, she might eventually snap out of all this craziness.
Charles just thought that Lori was going overboard and that she was going to the temple like 5 times a week, and that's not normal in our religion, and that she was going a little off the wall. So he figured that if she got her temple recommend taken away from her, that she would come back to normal, who she was before she started in all this things that she was believing. Part of the plan that Charles initially came up with to somehow get in front of the stake president. That night, he's the stake president. He interviews people for Temple Recommends and also plays basketball afterwards. So that was just a thought of maybe this could be something that we could do to help with that situation.
We're using a term there, stake president. Who is that? What is that in your religion?
In our religion, we have our churches organized where we have wards and then a bigger, like 4 or 5 wards that are in a stake. And then there's a president of the stake. And so it's somebody who's in charge of everybody in the stake.
Okay. So someone that's pretty high up in the church.
Yes. Yeah.
So Charles paid for Adam to fly to Phoenix, and they made a tentative plan to confront Lori. And that is when things went sideways. Adam made plans to stay with his brother Alex while he was in Phoenix. But when Adam's plane landed, his brother Alex was nowhere to be found. Adam felt like he'd been ghosted by his brother. No texts, no calls. No responses, no nothing from brother Alex.
Again, was that unusual to you?
Yes.
Did you think anything was odd at that time?
Yeah, at first I was like, he can't be that busy. He knows I'm coming.
Since Alex could not be reached, Adam had to change course and decided instead he would stay with his parents. Lori, Alex, and Adam's parents at this point lived in Arizona, So that would work. He stayed in close contact with his brother-in-law, Charles Vallow, and he did that by phone and by text. And the weird thing is, he was even texting with Charles when Charles rolled up on Lori's house. And lo and behold, what's in the driveway? What's in the driveway? Alex's truck. Lori and Adam's brother, Alex, his truck was in the driveway. And that is when Lori's brother, Adam, got a very bad feeling.
When you learned that Alex was at your sister's, what were you thinking?
I just thought something weird is happening because he never answered my text the whole day I was there, never returned a call. And then all of a sudden he said he's at Lori's house. And I didn't even know what to think at that point. I thought something was off.
So immediately you knew something was off.
Yeah.
From the prior day where Alex ghosted you to now he's at your sister's that morning when Charles was going over to pick up JJ.
Yes.
Adam didn't hear from Charles that day. Adam didn't hear from Charles the day after either. And Adam said that he started to feel in his gut like something was off. Still, Adam did not come to the conclusion that the worst thing had happened. And he actually thought that he would eventually hear from Charles and that the plan to confront Lori would move ahead. So while Adam was buying time in Phoenix, he decided to visit an old friend named Eric. And while having this visit with Eric, they got to talking about the drama surrounding his sister, Lori, the drama with her husband, Charles, his brother, Alex, ghosting him, and now, weirdly, his brother-in-law, Charles, ghosting him too. So Eric took to the Google. And when Eric put Charles Vallow's full name into the search bar, the oxygen left the room. Because the headlines that came up, Charles Vallow, shot by brother-in-law.
So you learn this. What is going through your mind now?
Just everything, chaos. I just knot in my stomach. Just probably one of the worst feelings I've ever felt in my life.
Adam said he immediately called his mom, but to his surprise, his mom said she already knew what had happened. And that is where the conversation between them turned awkward and dark.
What did you do after you learned that?
Freaked out for a little bit, cried, didn't know what to do. Thought my world was coming apart. Then I got angry a little bit. And then called Kay, who's Charles's sister, and asked her, because she's the only one that I felt safe calling after knowing my family was involved in this or thinking of this, that I asked her if she knew that Charles was dead, and she said she just learned of it too.
Did you learn from your confront anyone in your family about this or talk to them about it?
Yes. After I talked to Kay, then I called my mom and asked her if she knew that Charles was dead. And she said, yes. And I said, what's going on? And she said, you tell me what's going on. And at that point, I thought that was bizarre that she would say that. So I said, well, we need to sit down and talk. And she said, yes, we do.
Did you go to your mom's house?
Yes, I did.
Did that conversation go well?
No.
Did this create a break in your relationship with your mom?
Yes.
Did you stick up for Charles?
Yes.
Did sticking up for Charles create issues between you and most of your family?
Yes.
Did you continue to stick up for Charles even with that happening?
Yes.
Jurors saw messages from Charles Vallow to Adam Cox, saying things like, the Lori we knew is gone. I still love her more than life, but I fear she's gone forever. Adam was emotional on the stand as he described how his entire family turned on him simply for siding with Lori's husband, Charles. And then came the cross-examination. And what a moment this was shaping up to be. Just imagine how weird this is. Like how weird this moment is. Lori Cox, Lori Vallow, standing up in court to question her own brother, Adam Cox, who was still on the stand. Right out of the gate, Lori went full Lori. She chose to call him Mr. Cox instead of calling him Adam. And remarkably, Lori asked her brother Adam how long it had been since they'd seen each other.
L-E-T-E-N-E-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Mr. Cox, how long has it been since we've seen each other in person?
Don't know.
When was the last time you saw me?
I don't recall.
So, has it been a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years,
something
6 years,
like
7 years, 8 years?
Something.
Okay, so you have no idea?
Nope.
You have no idea when the last time you saw me in person?
I don't know the year or how many years it's been. Last time I remember our communications was you and I were speaking in the kitchen when the family was over.
Okay, so you think that was that time in 2018?
I think so.
Okay, and were we eating my green chili chicken enchiladas?
Do not remember that.
You do not remember that?
Nope.
Is that what I made every time we had a family get together, which was like 10 times a year?
I don't remember that.
Okay. So would you say that we were not physically close during the past 20 years?
Yes, I would say that.
So our communication would be solely family get-togethers, occasional text messages. Is that correct?
And phone calls, yes.
Okay.
Then Lori decided to wind up her cross-examination of her brother by pressing him for proof. As in, did he have any proof that she and their other brother, Alex, killed her husband and their brother-in-law, Charles Vallow?
So, Mr. Cox, did you see or hear or personally witness me conspire with my brother, Alex Cox, to murder my husband, Charles Vallow?
Repeat that again.
Okay. Did you see with your eyes or hear with your ears or personally witness me conspire with my brother, Alex Cox, to murder my husband, Charles Vallow?
No.
Thank you. No more questions.
Then the prosecutor stood up again to make things crystal clear. Did he think Lori and Alex killed Charles Vallow?
You were asked if you personally saw, heard your sister Lori conspire to kill Charles. Were you there that morning?
No.
Were you the person who was supposed to, though, be with Alex on the 10th into the morning of the 11th? You spent the night with him?
If I would have spent the night with him, yes.
So that stood out to you because you had made plans with your brother, right?
Yes.
At your sister's house at 7:30 in the morning?
Yes.
And you were aware that your brother had guns?
Yes.
JJ, did it seem odd to you that your brother would bring a gun that was loaded with extra magazines that was not safe To your sister's house where JJ was?
Objection, out of scope. This is not just goes a to the conspiracy. Redirect. This is not just a redirect.
Hey, I didn't ask for argument, okay? The objections overruled.
And when we're talking about this conspiracy and things that are going on, did that seem odd to you that your brother would bring a loaded gun and extra ammunition in this unsafe way to a house where your, you know, sister's son, JJ, lived?
Yeah, it seemed extreme.
When you were talking to your family after this happened, did you actually tell them that you believed that Lori and Alex had conspired to kill Charles?
Yes.
Why was that?
Because Lori had told people that Charles was no longer living, that some guy named Ned was inside of his body, that there's a zombie living inside of him. And Alex didn't respond to any of my text messages when I was supposed to be with him. And he was at that house that morning. Lori talking crazy about how she's a translated being. All these things all added up into that moment and that morning. Once I found out on Saturday that Charles was shot and killed, no doubt in my mind that they killed him. That's a feeling that I got.
And you told your family that?
Yes.
Next up, Serena Sharp. She was a spiritual acquaintance of Lori's who stayed at Lori's house during a church conference weekend called Preparing a People. She testified that Lori claimed she no longer needed to repent, that she was physically and spiritually transforming, and that Lori was now wary of zombies. Serena Sharp also heard Lori say that Charles was possessed by a dark spirit and that that spirit had a name, Ned. And this conversation, honestly, was nothing short of crazy.
Did Lori ever tell you that she did not need to repent?
Yes, she did.
What does repenting mean?
Repenting means turning to God and confessing our sins and repairing our relationship with him so that he can take on our sins for us and we can become better people through him and seek his forgiveness.
Do you recall what Lori told you about not needing to repent anymore?
What I remember is she's had a couple of verses in the Bible that she pulled out and read and then said, I believe something to the effect of, I believe we don't need to repent anymore.
Did that stand out to you?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Was that concerning?
That was shocking
to you?
Pardon?
Was that concerning to you?
Very.
I think you just said you were shocked by it.
Yes.
It was that against your religion?
Correct.
Did Lori talk to you about her husband, Charles Vallow, being possessed?
Yes, she did.
What do you recall about her talking about her husband being possessed?
I recall that she spoke about her husband being possessed by an evil spirit, and she named the evil spirit.
Do you recall what the name was?
Yes.
What was it?
It was Ned.
N-E-D? Ned?
N-E-D.
When Lori was talking to you about Ned, was she explaining that this evil spirit was now in the body of her husband?
I don't know if she used those exact terms, but that was the impression I got, yes.
Did you ever hear Lori use the term zombie?
I did.
Is that another thing that kind of stuck out to you?
Very much.
So let's talk about the group casting. What happened? What did you guys do for this group casting for her husband, Charles?
All the ladies came together and we were all in the same room just talking. And I remember coming together. I don't remember if we were standing or sitting, but I remember Lori started and asked for this help for her husband because she needed to cast out this evil spirit. And she asked to just go around the room and each of us take turns casting out to see if we could get rid of this evil spirit within him.
Ned. Do you recall Lori ever talking to you about people having dark and light levels assigned to them?
Yes, I do.
But now it was time for Lori to cross-examine her friend, and Serena got a grilling in true Lori style.
So would it be fair to say that some of the things that you remember are from other people and not actually from me to you directly?
Perhaps.
Okay. So in the instance when you said that I mentioned to you something about zombies, I would like to know what I said to you exactly verbatim about zombies.
Well, that was, I remember we talked about zombies in 2019 for the girls' weekend. You had mentioned zombies.
I mentioned zombies at that weekend out of my mouth, and not someone else, but me.
Object to argumentative.
Overruled, you can ask. Why don't you rephrase that question?
Okay. So you're saying under oath that I said the word zombies at that meeting or I'll go with that.
To the best of my recollection, it was that weekend during the girls' weekend, 2019.
Ms. Sharp, who are the three Nephites in the Book of Mormon?
The three Nephites? I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
In 3 Nephi 28, the three Nephites, do you know who they are?
Off the top of my head, no.
You do not know who they are?
No, not off the top of my head.
Okay. In the Bible, do you know of John the Revelator?
Yes.
Do you know of John the Revelator being translated?
I don't remember that, but...
You don't remember that? What about in the Old Testament, Elijah? Was he translated?
Your Honor, I'm going to object to relevance.
What's the relevance?
I've been accused of being out of the scope of the LDS religion when this is exactly in the scope of the LDS religion.
All right. I guess to the extent you're comparing yourself to these biblical figures, I'll allow it.
And then came the gut punch of the day. Kay Woodcock took the stand. Charles was Kay's brother. And lest you think that this is the only tragedy in Kay's life, Lori killed Kay's grandson, little J.J. Vallow, a 7-year-old autistic boy that Charles and Lori had adopted. So yeah, there is no love lost here from Kay. Kay described Charles as a doting father, a man who lit up around J.J., who kept the family together. That is until Lori changed. When Charles began to fear for his safety around Lori, he turned to Kay for help. He confided in his sister, Kay, that he was changing his passwords and changing his financial accounts, even changing his life insurance beneficiary. His decision? To take his wife, Lori, off the life insurance policy and instead name his sister, Kay. Kay broke down on the stand when she talked about how she learned about Charles's death.
I got a call from his oldest son, Cole. And he said, hey, what is going on? I just got a text from Lori, and she said, Dad's dead. And I said, wait, what did you just say? And he told me again, and I said, something's wrong with that. That can't be true. And I said, have you tried to call her? And Cole's like, yeah, she won't. I'm trying calling. She's not answering. He was freaking out, and I was like, okay, Cole, just give me a minute. Let me think about this. Let me see, and I'll call you back. I promise. As soon as I can figure this out. So I called my husband to tell him, and he said, okay, well, let me, I told him that what the Cole said, and he said, hey, let me call you back in a minute. And so I was still at the nail salon trying to get out of there. And he called and he said, he's dead. I Googled him and he's dead. Alex killed him yesterday. And I mean, that was just like, it was horrible. I have to call my siblings and let them know.
Did you try to reach out to Lori?
I've tried calling, texting Charles. I tried calling, texting Lori. And at some point, she texted me. She returned a text, something like, I'm having to deal with a lot of stuff and I'm busy. And she was too busy to even call his family to say that he was dead by her brother killing him.
After Charles died, Lori found out that she was no longer getting the $1 million from her husband's life insurance policy. And Lori sent his sister Kay a screenshot of the policy and a very nasty text.
She didn't call and do it. She sent me a text one night, a picture or two of a screenshot. She took a screenshot of the change of beneficiary form with my name on it. And she said something to the effect of five kids and his sister gets all the money, or is that why you want JJ? Something to that effect. Which it made no sense. I want JJ, period. That was a dumb statement by her.
So let me ask you this. So she told you again that she was left with these five kids, right?
Yeah, five kids. She didn't have, she had Colby and Tylee and JJ. And Colby was out of the house. So it was just Tylee and JJ.
So she's messaging you this saying, how upset she is because she has five kids to take care of.
Yeah.
And then she tells you that, is this why you wanted JJ to come to Charles's service?
No, I had already gotten the okay from her to come get him. I was going to fly here, pick him up, go back to Louisiana, keep him for a week and attend this, so he could attend the service during that time. And when she found the change of beneficiary form, she said that she was too busy. They were moving to Hawaii and it would be too confusing for JJ to come, and he needed to be with her.
In a final act of cruelty towards the sister of her now dead husband, Lori cremated Charles Vallow's body and FedExed his ashes to Kay's office.
Well, this was before Lori knew she wasn't getting the money. She had him cremated, and he was mailed. He was a FedEx or whatever over to my office, along with his letterman's jacket from high school and a couple pair of cheap sunglasses and one or two watches. It was just a few little trinkets. And Charles had a watch collection, and she just sent some crap.
When it came time for Lori to cross-examine her former sister-in-law, you could say the fireworks flew.
All right, cross.
Oh, boy.
Lori asked if Kay knew what had happened on the morning of July 11th, the day her brother died. And Kay, she snapped back with an answer.
And you weren't really aware of the events that happened that morning, were you?
The morning of the murder?
Of July 11th?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
Because you didn't tell me.
Lori's final question for Kay was the same question that she asked of her brother, Adam. Did you hear me conspire to kill my husband, Charles? And Kay's answer? It was brilliant.
Ms. Wickock, did you see or hear or personally witness me conspire with Alex Cox to kill my husband, Charles Vallow?
No, but I saw a ton of evidence that did.
Thank you. No further questions.
And that, my friends, was day four. I mean, family drama, it was top to bottom. Look, if you've ever been to a trial, the emotions are true. The stories are true. It's like the original reality TV, but there's no script and no producers. This stuff comes out raw. And if you're in the gallery, you can almost feel the reverberations. You can feel the hair stand up on your arm. You can just feel the pain. You can feel the eyes boring into people, you know? This is tough stuff. You can see a lot of it on television too, but it is really something to be in the court. And that's why we are doing our very best to give you Every Day in Court recapped every day on this podcast. I'm Ashley Banfield, and this is Drop Dead Serious. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, the truth isn't just serious, it's drop dead serious.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.